Okay, today's conversation is artificial intelligence in retail. Customer buying behavior is constantly changing, and in this session, we will explore how AI can leverage data from across e-commerce, stores, and distribution centers to help retailers become more agile and deliver a more personalized and convenient shopping experience to their customers. And to do this, I am joined today by Azita Martin and Siobhan Lynch. Azita is the general manager of NVIDIA's Artificial Intelligence Initiative for Retail and CPG Industries. In this role, she is responsible for building NVIDIA's AI solutions and the ecosystem of software partners and service integrators that deliver the greatest business value to retailers. Azita's team also works with data science teams of retailers to help them build more accurate AI applications faster. Welcome, Azita.
Thank you, Bernard. It's great to be here.
Where are you joining us from today?
I am joining you from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Wonderful. And then we've got Siobhan with us as well. She is the retail lead for EMEA in Dell Technologies. In this role, she designs the strategy and retail-centric solutions focused on solving high-value problem statements for retail customers. And Siobhan works with retailers to help them make the most of their IT infrastructure investments and future-proof their business. Nice to have you with us, Siobhan.
Nice to be here. Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Very good. I can detect an Irish accent there.
Yeah, I'm Irish, but a long time liver in England.
Very good. So you're joining us from London.
I am indeed.
Excellent. So COVID has obviously dramatically changed the consumer buying pattern and behaviors. And today, more than ever, retailers need the agility to respond to those changes. And consumer buying pattern is buying behavior is constantly changing, which has put a lot of pressure on supply chains. And it requires some real-time agility. And I guess today we'll talk about how we can use AI to help with this. And we'll talk about the AI use cases that can provide this agility and can be deployed, hopefully, in months and not years. Before we dive into the use of AI then in retail, maybe we can start with actually defining what you think AI is or what you mean by AI. Azita, do you want to make a start?
Sure, I'll give it an attempt. So AI really is a set of algorithms or models that are trained with massive amount of data. And the accumulation of the combination of those algorithms creates an AI applications that provides recommendations in real time. And those recommendations could be anywhere from automation to making recommendations to human beings to do a specific action. And I think the advantage that it has is leveraging massive amount of data to really predict what's going to happen, or if some particular thing is happening, to notify an associate or a manager immediately. So overall, it's being able to leverage massive amount of data to provide recommendations or to predict an action that would be happening. So Bob, I'm going to ask you maybe, your perspective on that would be wonderful.
I mean, luckily, I think we have very similar definitions. I feel like when you ask this question, you can get polar opposite or exactly the same. But I have to agree with Azita. I think artificial intelligence leverages massive data sets, advanced analytics and algorithms to ultimately simulate human intelligence. And that can be used in applications like natural language processing, speech recognition, automation, computer and machine vision. And really it's around focusing your data around specific use cases and trying to solve problems in a more accurate and efficient and effective way than the human brain can do today.
Very good, very good. As always, I encourage everyone on the live stream to ask questions. So if there's anything you want to know, anything you have comments on, feel free to share this. Also, let us know where you're joining us from. That is always really interesting for us to see where you're all from. We've got people, I'm just looking through the stream, saying hello from different places. So we've got people from India, from Jordan, from Saudi Arabia, from Spain. So keep this going. Maybe we can look at some practical examples then, and of how retailers can actually use AI today. What are some of the use cases that you would highlight there, Azita?
So I would say today, if you look at retailers, have a really good understanding of what consumers are doing, what they're clicking on, what they're buying on the e-commerce site, but they don't have that visibility in the stores. And computer vision actually brings tremendous amount of intelligence about the behavior of consumers in the store. And when you combine that knowledge of your customers online with their behavior in the stores, that's when you get really a true 360 view of your customers. And that's when you can make personalized offer that are much more relevant to them. So it keeps your customers happy, but at the same time, it increases your revenue. And actually, I think Subhan is going to talk about various use cases that use computer vision for that.
Very good, Siobhan. What are some of your practical examples of using AI in retail?
I think if we're talking specifically around the store, there's a ton of things that are happening at the minute within the stores, and everything that we've been hearing around the death of the high street retail apocalypse, it's just not what's happening in terms of the investment areas that the retailers are spending in. And really, it's around identifying the high value problem statements, as we said at the beginning, to understand what makes sense to make investments in the business, because these aren't cheap systems that you're going to be doing, and they're large scale transformational projects. So I always advise retailers to start with 2 to 3 use cases that have a direct impact on the bottom and top line. And the one that we see every single retailer investing in is asset protection or loss prevention. And I'm sure there's a ton of retailers on here listening today which are sick to death about hearing about loss prevention, but it is ultimately the gateway into being able to transform your store, because it provides such a high return on investment. So for anyone joining us that doesn't know about these loss prevention and advanced asset protection solutions, shrinkage is typically accounting for around 2% of annual sales, which is around 100% globally annually for retailers. It's a massive problem. It's an age-old problem. And we have been working together with NVIDIA and Dell and a company called Everseen, which is leading the market for loss prevention. And ultimately what that does is it leverages computer vision and art algorithms that integrate into your point of sale system, and it detects and prevents theft in real time. And this solution has actually been reducing theft at the point of sale systems by around 50%. The ROI on it is just incredible. You're talking between 300 to 500% and a payback period of between 6 to 9 months. It's so compelling that it's hard to ignore. But the best thing about the solution is that it paves the way for you to put this modern infrastructure within your stores and then architect it in a way that you can run the nice to haves, which is more around the store analytics, you know, understanding what's happening within wayfinding, demographics, you know, queue prevention, all of these kind of store analytic use cases that are harder to determine the business case and the ROI. But if you've got the infrastructure in there with loss prevention, it's paying for itself. So you can add on these additional cases.
Very good. Yeah, and this is exactly what I would recommend anyone does, is that you really sit down and you look at this strategically and say, okay, based on our strategy, bottom line, top line, how can we really use AI to drive some value here? And for me, it's initially about your customer offering and the service, but it's also the back end where you think about how you optimize your entire supply chain. And then probably on top of the one, two, or three strategic use cases, I always say it would be nice to have a quick win that really demonstrates value. And actually, for me, the loss prevention is probably quite a quick win because you can implement this relatively easily. And would you agree?
I'd love to say I agree, but I have to politely disagree. These are really, really long-term transformational projects. And anything that happens at the edge, it's not about just putting in a server with some software on top. It's an entire ecosystem of capabilities. You have to have the functioning network to keep up with the applications, to be able to send information across the network. You have to have cameras in place. They have to be IP cameras. Then you've got software and hardware vendors. And then you've got a ton of competing line of business and budget owners within the business that need to align. So I would be dreaming of a time where it's a really easy thing for us to do. But these projects are long-term transformational, but they are well worth putting in the grunt work to understand how to do it in a strategic way that ultimately will give you an ability to future-proof your business for the next 3, 5 to 8 years. And avoid putting that kind of siloed solution in. I don't know, Azita, I'm sure you've got plenty of opinions on this as well.
Yeah, you know, actually, it depends on the retailer, right? We have one customer, one of the largest supermarkets in the United States, that started with a 60-day POC, rolled it out to 10 stores for another 3 months, and the ROI was so compelling that within 18 months, all 2,000 stores were deployed because the ROI was enormous. When your revenue is in the $30 to $50 billion and you're losing 2% of your revenue, you know, if you're a progressive retailer, you can identify that. And I think it's when the CFO and the VP of store operations look at the numbers, they really understand why that transformation, it is digital transformation without question, but they really understand the value of it and they want to accelerate it. Then you have the retailers that are more of a followers and you have POCs and pilots for over a year. And that's not necessarily the right way to do it, but some retailers need to be more comfortable and are different. And so I would say I see that the most progressive retailers, and especially those that have some data scientists on their teams, really seem to adopt it much faster than those that don't.
Very good. So Siobhan, what's the best way to get started then with intelligent stores?
So I think, as Azita rightly pointed out, it depends on your maturity. the first thing is starting off with the use cases and avoiding getting taken away by all the things that are on offer. You know, be really specific on what it is you're trying to do and pick out the ones that are going to make it easy for your C-suite to say yes to. And it goes back to Azita's point on the business case and the ROI. And To be able to give those metrics, you need to run a proof of concept. And my view is, if you're going to run a proof of concept, you might as well benchmark two different vendors so that you've got a good idea of who you're looking into. Because it's not just, you know, what's going to happen in one store, but it's, you know, you're trying to understand which software is the most mature and which one you're going to be able to add on to as well. So getting that proof of concept and the ROI built up front, run it for 3 to 6 weeks within your stores. And that gives you a really sound baseline to be able to take the numbers to your C-suite and say, this is how much we're losing. And this is how much we can protect over, you know, the next year. And these are yearly numbers. And then once you've done that, I think aligning with the other use cases that want to be put into store. Every retailer is looking at multiple use cases for computer vision. Every single retailer. Most of them don't know who's looking at what in the business. And if they start to talk to each other, they realize that all of their budgets can be put together. They might even then be able to cut money off their budget and design it in a way that it's not putting in point solutions, but it's leveraging the assets that they can reuse or repurpose, and then doing a gap analysis to see what do they need as net new capabilities. And once you get to that point, you're in a strong position to do a very strategic rollout. And you have to be strapped in and ready to go for a lot of iterations and a learning process along the way, because as we know, the retail footprint is so diverse. You've got different form factors within the stores, small, medium, large. You have different personalities that work within the stores. I've heard stories about staff going in and unplugging servers. So those are all type of things that you need to really take into consideration when you're doing those rollouts.
So when you say that they could combine the different individual solutions using machine vision, what are they? What are some of the things that you see in practice, maybe beyond loss prevention?
So within loss prevention, you've got multiple different types of use cases at the point of sale system, but also within the back of store or the warehouses. You've also got when people walk through the aisles, let's say they want to buy a bottle of vodka, but instead of putting it in their basket, they put it under their shirt. Another one would be things like queue prevention. So if you can see, the camera can see that there's plenty of people queuing somewhere and there's not enough cashiers open, they automatically send a notification to open up a new cashier. These are all things that are using camera vision or computer vision without anybody even realizing that it's being done. And so when I say make the most of those use cases on one platform, it all requires the same type of compute processing and architecture. So if it's being put in for one thing, you know, ultimately you have the ability to do it for multiple things.
Very good. Yeah, I completely agree.
And I would say, if I can add to that, NVIDIA and Dell, we partner together and we have an amazing areas of expertise around AI. For example, at NVIDIA, we have 8,000 startups that are developing their AI applications using the NVIDIA platform. And so we know these startups extremely well, and we recommend who are the right technology and software providers for these types of solutions. At the same time, we work with many that retailers that want to develop it internally. And so we can always help with buy versus build. And of course, Dell has got the tremendous expertise in how do you build a future-proof architecture for AI and digital transformation so that, you know, it is the most cost-effective and it is the most expandable.
Very good. We've talked about intelligent stores. A big part of retail is supply chain as well, where they are facing huge challenges. How can AI help there, Azita?
Yeah, so AI can make an unbelievable impact in terms of agility, responding to changes in customer buying behavior. And there's three areas that we're seeing a lot of interest from retailers and AI making a huge impact. First is forecasting, and that's basically being able to use machine learning to predict very, very accurately and much more frequently than most retailers are able to today, to identify what product needs to be at what store and when. And of course, that has tremendous implications. We've actually, this is one customer I can talk about publicly. It's a joint customer with Dell, which is Walmart. And we've actually worked with Walmart. They have 100,000 products, SKUs, and 5,000 stores in the United States. So that's 500 million combination of items and products. And they wanted to be able to run forecasting much more frequently. And so we've worked with them. They're leveraging our software libraries that are very critical for this forecasting, and are able to run forecasting instead of every 2 weeks, to be able to actually do that on a daily basis. And they've improved their forecast accuracy by several percentage points. And for a company with the magnitude of Walmart, that's hundreds of millions of dollars in, you know, more revenue and also reducing waste, because they have a lot of food items that are perishable. So forecasting is definitely one area. The second area is what I call intelligent warehouse. And that's basically, you know, most distribution centers are automated today, but they don't have AI intelligence. And it's about adding AI intelligence to multi-shuttle cabinets. These are cabinets that go up and down, left and right, and robots that know where the items are and be able to go and fetch those items and deliver them to pick and pack robots that are going to pack the orders. And what we've seen there is a increase of 30% in the throughput of the distribution center, which really means retailers can fulfill orders 30% faster. And of course, human error is eliminated because it is fully integrated into the warehouse management system, into the order management system, and it's matching the right products to the right order. So significant interest there. We're also seeing a lot of interest in micro-fulfillment centers in the back of the store, literally using the back of the store as another mini distribution center and being able to do order online, pick up at the curbside. And of course, the third area is last mile delivery. And again, with this omni-channel and ordering online and choosing whether you want to pick it at the curbside, in the store, or have it delivered to you, the routing of the delivery trucks becomes incredibly, incredibly expensive. In fact, $8 out of $10 of the delivery of items to the customer is really that last mile. And again, with analytics and data science, we are starting to see some dramatic optimization there in terms of routing. So for example, a driver calls in sick in the morning and being able to, in 12 minutes, redo the routing and what items go in which truck versus normally it takes 12 hours. And so the impact is around $120 million a year for a typical retailer in terms of savings, both on, you know, gas savings and the ability to deliver items in a much shorter window and much, much faster. So those are the three areas that we're seeing a lot of impact.
Very good. So you talked about this new omni-channel world, and I guess over the last 12 to 18 months, we've seen this massive shift towards online shopping, and people expect faster delivery or, as you said, curbside pickup. So Siobhan, how does AI help with this whole new omni-channel challenge that retailers are facing?
I'm excited by this question because I recently learned about one of my favorite brands yesterday has deployed something that to me epitomizes what omnichannel should be. So it's Inditex's brand Zara, the fashion retailer. Everybody knows them to have embraced RFID and mobile applications for a long time. They're very good at it. What I saw that they've recently launched is a store mode for their mobile application. So when you go into the store, you can apply store mode, and then you can actually look for items within the store. So let's say I want to buy this dress, and there's 10 items here, but none of them are my size. I can look for where the article might be elsewhere in the shop. And then I can also book a changing room, and I can also sit at home and purchase something online and pick it up within the store within 2 hours. This to me is the true seamless interaction between e-commerce, marketplaces, and the store. And that's what omnichannel is. And it's really around the ability to do this is about leveraging the data you have online within the stores, within your warehouses, your fulfillment centers, and making sure that it's readily available to customers and colleagues so that the colleagues and the customers can have the most seamless experience.
Very good. We had one question come through here from George Firikan from British Columbia in Canada, and he wants to know how you best convince your C-level executives to invest in AI. Azita, do you want to take this?
Sure. So I do talk to a lot of C-level executives, and I think the best way we're able to convince them is, first of all, to understand what their challenges are, obviously, and then to give them examples of the most progressive retailers that are using AI. We work very closely with Nike, with Kroger, with Walmart, and some incredible brand names. And when we share, you know, some of the things that publicly we can share, obviously, and share particularly which are the use cases that deliver the greatest ROI, I think that's when we really get the support. And of course, that is very important, right? Because ultimately, I think any initiative that is driven by the C-level executives is really what it gets. And one of the things that I've noticed is many CEOs have started to hire chief digital officers, right? And these are executives that see across all the digital initiatives and can start prioritizing, you know, what are some of the areas to focus on. And as Sivan mentioned, I think almost every single one of them says, let's do one or two and let's measure the ROI and then expand into other initiatives.
Very good. Siobhan, anything to add?
I completely agree. And to summarize, numbers are magic. Numbers speak volumes. And they're usually really hard to argue. You know, if you've got the metrics to back it up and they're strong and compelling, then it's hard to ignore.
Absolutely. So what do you see as some of the drivers of success when it comes to AI? Or what do you see as some of the biggest barriers that retailers have to overcome in order to successfully leverage AI? Siobhan, do you want to start with this?
Yeah, sure. So I think there needs to be a balance between the soft skills and the hard elements, the components that you need to deliver it. And I think on the soft side, your talent pool and your skill set are critical. I mean, Azita's already talked about the data science teams. This is an area of investment for the retailers. Not all retailers have the luxury of having a data science team, but it's by far the area of growth that we see the most. And that really enables you to take advantage of third-party applications where you can, which we always recommend. There should be a balance between that and third-party and your own intellectual property. But having a data science team gives you the ability to create your own intellectual property and then add on additional benefits to third parties. And that gives you true competitive differentiation. I think then the mentality to really embrace the change is also shouldn't be ignored. Typically, the retail industry has been quite risk averse, and it's now going through this period where you just have to really go in with your gut feeling, but also do it with careful analysis, but not really taking, you know, 18 months to make a decision. And what we're seeing is that there are, as Azita said, those leading edge customers, leading edge retailers that are really embracing it and doing it very well. And then the retailers that are a little bit more shy towards it, and they go round in circles, and we can see it, you know, go round and round and round. And so I think that that's a legacy mentality that we see often happening, coming from top down. And then I think really putting your ecosystem to work. There's so many vendors out there that have resources available to you, consulting services, workshops, designs, proof of concepts. If you're not leveraging those, I don't know why. Those are free services that you can use. And most of the time, they're going to be extremely valuable, valuable lessons for you, and they will help accelerate. I think as well, understanding the financing available to you, you know, these are really, really big investments. It doesn't have to be a one-time signing of a check. There are financial capabilities out there to make it suitable to your consumption preferences and to your budget requirements. So then on the hard side, I would say, you need killer code and a good balance between third-party and intellectual property, and then modern IT capabilities that are, you know, fit for purpose and future-proofed.
Very good. I very much agree, yes. Azita, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would say if you're trying to get the attention of the CXO in your company, look for articles about companies that have done really well during the past 12 to 18 months, and you will see one common thread across all of them. They're using AI. They've got agility, they've got data, and they're able to respond quickly. And the retailers that are struggling and are having a hard time even coming back are the ones that are technology laggers. And so I 100% agree with Subhan. You have to invest in having a chief digital officer. You have to invest in hiring some great data scientists, but you know, you don't have to have thousands of them. And that combination of buying some software from AI companies and building some in-home is a terrific combination that we see very frequently. And the other thing I want to say is, you know, a lot of retailers have a hybrid model of using the cloud and using on-premise, and that gives you, again, some level of flexibility. And the more your usage grows, then you can build a balance there and figure out what is the most cost-effective for you.
Very good. So we talked a lot about the skills you need, the team you need to build, how you get the right balance between in-house capabilities and leveraging external capabilities. We talked about technology. What do you see the role of culture and actually the right attitude of leaders? How important do you think this is? Because for me, lots of the companies that are really thriving at the moment have this right attitude. The leadership has this agile mindset. They are aware of what is happening. What are your views on that? Azita, do you want to kick this off?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's exactly what you're saying is the cultures that encourage innovation, that are okay with fail fast, learn, and become better, are the companies that are really doing really well. And the companies that are too conservative, too risk averse, are the ones that are not going to be around 5 years from now. And I think that's just really important. It's driven from the top, because the CEO and the board of directors decides, you know, who the company is hiring in level of executives, and those C-level executives are driving, again, who else you hire in that. And the culture is incredibly important. And so a culture that drives innovation and agility and rewards for innovation, but does not penalize if you fail fast and learn and become better, is really critical.
Very good. Siobhan, anything, how important do you see the role of culture? And have you got any good tips of how organizations can maybe influence the culture?
I think it's imperative to have an open mind towards these things. And culture at the top trickles down towards your decision makers that are engaging with the vendors every day. And we as vendors see how risk averse the retail industry can be. As we said, there's a spectrum. You've got people who really embrace it, the early adopters, and then you've got more laggards. I personally really feel for the IT infrastructure teams, because there's generally a view that IT is a cost center, but what people are very quick to forget is that without IT, you can't make any money. And it's that kind of age-old phrase of you've got to spend money to make money, and you've got to make modern IT investments to be able to keep up with the pace of change. And embracing that earlier than later will position you well ahead of the competition. If you don't make those investments, you don't have the agility, as you rightly pointed out. And I think having an open and informative discussion with your C-suite that are maybe less technical and educating them on just how fundamental modern IT is and the economic balance between it is really important, because a lot of the decision makers who are signing off on the balance sheet might not really understand just how important those investments are.
Excellent. Just having a look through some of the questions here, and there's one from Nipuna who is asking, do you actually think AI is mature enough to play a massive role in retail? So maybe you can respond to this and say, are there certain parts of AI where you think they are actually mature enough and they're already being deployed and are making a real impact? And are there others that are on the horizon that are coming along, but they might not be as mature?
I personally think this is a chicken and egg discussion. AI typically gets smarter with usage and smarter with data. So the earlier on you embrace it and the more sites that you deploy to, the smarter the algorithms will get and the smarter the application will get. Therefore, you get a higher return on investment. It is true that there are plenty of use cases that aren't mature for full-time usage or mainstream. But as we've said throughout this, proof of concepts and pilots are how emerging technology, you know, becomes prolific. So as I said, chicken and egg, use it early on and it'll only grow.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I would add to that is there's certain technologies with AI, like autonomous driving, that is getting better and better, but is it fully there at level 5? Not yet, right? We've got several years to get there. But again, there's, you know, we see some incredible technologies out there right now with robotics, the examples that that Saban mentioned. We see some pretty incredible use of AI for recommendation systems on e-commerce. There's another one that we haven't talked about, and that's like AI-enabled tagging of data. So these data scientists are highly valuable, very, very well paid. And last thing they want to do is label data. Well, there's actually AI algorithms that learns from these data scientists. So they can label 10% of the data and the algorithm learns and auto labels these products at attribute level. And so customers can find items on your e-commerce site much, much faster. So if I'm gluten-free and I like vanilla cereal and I type gluten-free vanilla cereal, I'm not sure today too many websites that sell food help me find that item. But if you're actually using AI to auto-label these, you can label them at attribute level, right? And so in my opinion, the maturity is there, but I think Saban mentioned something that was really important, and that is the sooner you start, the more accurate your algorithm becomes. Because when you first deploy, you're not going to get the same level of accuracy that you will get a year from now. And one of the things that's really important about AI is that it's constantly training and it has to be redeployed. And especially for the use cases that Saban was talking about, that is really critical, that, you know, the metadata goes back into the data center and then retrains the models and gets redeployed and the accuracy keeps getting better and better. So I think that certainly it's reached the level of maturity that can bring a lot of business value to retailers.
Very good. There's another question here. I guess we've covered some of this already, but what are other important points to pay attention to during digital transformation with AI projects? Have you got any tips here or anything that you haven't yet touched on? Siobhan, do you want to take this?
I think making sure that you have a sound understanding of all of the key components required for the use case that you are going to deploy. AI has different requirements depending on where you're deploying it. So if you deploy it in a store or a distribution center, it's going to be different to what is required within a data center or in a cloud. So understanding if you've got everything that you need within your ecosystem, making the most of your existing investments, and then understanding what you need as net new capabilities will make your project a success. It's not something that you can buy and plug in and go overnight. It's an ecosystem of things that are interdependent. And if you've got a mature ecosystem, your return on investment is just going to be light years ahead of anything that doesn't leverage the right ecosystem.
Very good. Azida?
Yeah, I can add to that. I mean, I think if I look at it more from the software perspective of it, I would say there's tremendous amount of knowledge and best practices out there that are free on open source. For example, NVIDIA alone provides over 100 SDKs that dramatically improves the performance and the accuracy of the algorithms, and they're free. All you have to do is go on NVIDIA's NGC cloud and download it. And there are over 8,000 developers that are doing that. So do your research. If you're a technical person, you know, there's so many experts out there. There's so many great information on GitHub and other open source areas. Come to NVIDIA's website and learn about all the different SDKs that are available to you for free and leverage that. It makes your job so much easier and it helps you build much better AI algorithms.
Very good. There's another question here from Diego saying, will we see supermarkets without any single person in it in the future? What are your views there?
You know, it's a really good question. We have seen since last November a tremendous amount of interest in autonomous shopping, frictionless shopping. And definitely where we're seeing it grow very, very rapidly are convenience stores or smaller stores. But we actually know of several retailers that are looking at taking one very, very large store and trying to showcase that. Now, of course, you can't force it and say, if you walk in, all you can do is use your mobile phone, because, you know, you might have some older individuals that say, you know, I don't have a smartphone, I don't want to. So you have to provide some capabilities. But frankly, we see tremendous opportunity there and interest. And there's some really great partners of ours that provide the autonomous shopping type of a solution. And every single one of them is seeing tremendous amount of growth. And also the venture capital community is investing very, very heavily in that area. So I think it's something that many retailers will end up having the smaller stores and some of their showcase most modern stores be fully autonomous. You will always have a few people in case anything goes wrong, but it can dramatically reduce the cost of having humans in the store.
What's your view, Siobhan?
Yeah, I have to agree. My honest opinion is until end of last year, I was still a bit skeptical about the prevalence of it. And then I started to get introduced to a couple of partners that do this. And then I read in Juniper's research that the projected spend in frictionless stores is set to grow from 253 million in 2018 to 45 billion in 2023. That's incredible. I couldn't wrap my head around it. It was that strong a growth. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized just how quickly this is becoming mainstream. And I think there's a number of drivers for it. Obviously, the buzz with Amazon Go shops, it can't be ignored. But also the fact that most retailers, because they're being forced to rethink the form factor of their store and the concept of them, a lot of retailers are looking at concept stores, and frictionless capabilities give you a really nice playground to think of new stores and new routes to market. And you don't have to have a fully frictionless store to be able to do that. But what it enables you to do is offer new ways to interact with brands, attract new buyers, and the store then becomes its own marketing campaign. You know, you don't have a frictionless store without very high footfall. So I would conclude with the frictionless stores are coming mainstream much quicker than everybody thinks. And as Azita said, we are working with a number of companies that have already started to go down the zero staff route.
Very good. Fascinating world ahead of us then. So looking into the future, then, what do you see on the horizon when it comes to AI in retail, and what are your hopes and predictions for the industry, Azita?
I'm going to be really brave, and I'm going to say retail will become software defined. And what that means is you have software running your e-commerce site, you've got software running your distribution center. And what that does is it becomes a learning enterprise, an enterprise that continuously gets better because there are many, many algorithms that are providing recommendation that are augmenting the human decision. And so a software-defined retail company ultimately is the agile, the most intelligent. It learns and it adapts and it becomes better and more responsive to consumer needs.
Very good. Siobhan?
Yeah, I have to agree with Azita. I think for me, there are still some fundamental challenges within the retail industry that seem to be simple issues, but they're very difficult to solve. And they're things that we've been talking about, you know, for the past 5 years. I'd love to see the solutions that the retailers are already deploying at the pilot stage become the norm. You know, like the Zara example that I said to you earlier, that should be the norm for all retail outlets. If I was to be a little bit futuristic, I'd love to see the control and the power of the consumer data put back to the consumers. Data is our currency these days, but a lot of the time we don't get anything back from it other than a slightly personalized experience, which is still not rightly hitting the mark. So I'd love to see how retailers can start to leverage and give back the data in the way of discounts or promotions. Inviting customers to be part of new releases or sending them samples, something that kind of connects the retailer to the data and the consumer would be great to see.
Very good. Fascinating. Thank you so much. Anyone on the stream watching, let us know what you think. I'm always interested to hear your feedback. I thought this was a fascinating discussion. Anyone who wants to know more or wants to connect with any of us, feel free to do this on LinkedIn or any of the other platforms. And anyone who wants more content, head to my YouTube channel where you can not only rewatch this conversation, but you can watch hundreds of other conversations on super exciting topics around AI and data and digital transformation and business trends. Thank you so much, Siobhan. Thank you, Azita. This was amazing. And hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Thank you, Bernard, for having us. That was a lot of fun. And Siobhan, great to see you and be on the panel with you.
Likewise, Azita. Thank you so much, Bernard, for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.